Good morning.
Good morning, Kenny.
I would like to just read one verse. I think you're familiar with this verse, Psalm 4, verse 1. This is from one of David's Psalms, and he said this: "When I call, answer me, O God of my righteousness. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me. Be gracious unto me and hear my prayer." I'll read it again. "When I call, answer me, O God of my righteousness. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me." That's the phrase I would like us to focus on today. "Be gracious unto me and hear my prayer." Lord, we're so grateful to be together this morning with brothers and sisters here and on Zoom. And we're so grateful to have been able to come to remember the Lord Jesus, to rejoice in our eternal portion, and so glad to be part of this great house of God. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we know that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we ask your Holy Spirit to quicken us all, both the speaker and the hearers, that we could hear the words of the Lord. Lord, I'm always impressed with that Peter's declaration that day when so many were offended and many of your own turned back because of the difficulty of the words. And you said to your own, you said, "Will you also go?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." So this morning, we look to you as we gather to hear your words. Help us, Lord. Speak to us. Open our spirit to receive what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We're not interested in tickling ears. We're not interested in vain sayings. We're interested. We're dependent. We're longing for your word. So speak, Lord. Speak to us. We ask this together in the name of the Lord Jesus and for your glory. Amen. This burden the Lord has laid on my heart is obviously from this one verse, David's Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, from that phrase, "In pressure thou hast enlarged me." Now, none of you remember this, so I'll tell you. 35 years ago, almost 35 years ago, I spoke a message on that phrase. It's a long time ago. When you think about it, I was 33 years old, and look at me now. What they say, I guess, is true. Time flies when you're having fun. And I've thought about this verse over the years, this phrase in particular. It made such a deep impact, spiritual impact on me as a younger Christian. And not too long ago, a brother sent me an email message. I was a little shocked that his memory was so good. And that has spurred me on for a couple months during this trial that we're going through, these troubles, these days, to reconsider, not repeat a message, but to reconsider what is the Lord doing in the midst of these days with this pandemic, COVID, and what is the Lord saying to us as his people during an hour of trial. And this phrase came back to me, equally living as it did 35 years ago. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me. Now, I want to share just a few thoughts. They may not even be so deep, but they're at least living to me, and I hope to you. The burden is pressure's precious work. You know, the Lord can only do something in pressure that He can do no other way. If you look carefully at the Word of God, you discover it's a secret revealed throughout the Word of God. He uses pressure to accomplish His work in a manner that He could not otherwise do. And that's really the gist of the whole burden. I remember 35 years ago, a deep impression made on me by reading From Faith to Faith by Brother Watchman Nee, messages that were put together. Chapter 7 of that book is The Power of Pressure. And this one quote, it's still living to me. Where there is no pressure, there is no power. But pressure can and does produce power. Isn't that a powerful statement? Not to be repetitive. But where there is no pressure, there's no power. And pressure can and does produce power. I think you would all agree we're living in unparalleled pressure. Life is intense. You know, you used to be, you talk to people and say, oh, life is so easy. I don't think people say that. Oh, I'm sorry, my phone has these terrible gonging bells. I need a young person to save me from myself. It's a Bible app that has these dreadful sounding bells like the tolling of death. Forgive me for interrupting. Send me a millennial, please. We're living in days of unparalleled pressure. Life is filled with intense and increasing pressure. There's pressure from the world. There's pressure from Satan. There's pressure from self. You know, with the world would say, don't be so serious. Compromise what you believe. You're too utter. Just ratchet it down a little bit. It's always calling for compromise, that pressure. The second from the enemy, he would say to us as the people of God in the most difficult periods, there is no help for you in God. He would impose demonic depression and cause us to despair, even of life. And in the third, you know, the world always says, and ourself always says, be good to yourself. Be good to yourself. I tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe we're living in days of intense and increasing pressure. The word of the Lord, He spoke about those last days in Matthew 24, verse 22, said, and if those days had not been cut short, no flesh would have been saved. But on account of the elect, those days will be cut short. Those are the days we're living in. This is exponential pressure we've been seeing in the world. Things none of us would have had the boldness to predict just 10 years ago. That most of the world would be closed down. That none of our children would be going to school. That most of the businesses, being a businessman, this breaks my heart. You couldn't have imagined it. And on top of that, the lawlessness that has happened over something that was very legitimate, by the way, racial injustice. But it has gone to a level to cast off everything that is about the Lord, everything that is about our nation's founding. Everything and impose a new will and a mindset of just a few. just a few. But nevertheless, it wants to rewrite everything and develop something in their own image. I do believe the Lord is using this pressure to do a precious work. This is the encouragement to believers, and this is what we need to see and understand. Now, when you turn to Psalm 4, verse 1, I think you see something. You see pressure's absolute secret. Now, I want to be that bold when I say it. David shared an absolute secret which every believer must know, which Israel needed to know, and which the church has to know. It's the absolute secret. And if you look at Psalm 4, verse 1, you realize these are the pleadings, the prayer of David. And he prayed out, and listen to what he said, "When I call, answer me, O God of my righteousness." And look at the end of the verse, "Be gracious unto me and hear my prayer." You know, one thing about David, this man of God, this man after God's own heart, is he was a man of prayer. And I think that ought to be one encouragement to us in times of great difficulty. We ought to be men and women who are given to prayer, alone in our closet and together as an assembly, praying for God's will to be accomplished, for the Lord to overrule the works of darkness, and for the Lord to bring in His kingdom, and for the Lord to save the lost who are blinded by the enemy. We ought to be doing that and learn from David to be a man of prayer. Yet in the very middle of this verse, he makes a statement, a bold statement. And if you think about it, it almost looks out of place. In the middle of his prayings and pleadings for answered prayers, he makes this statement and he says, "In pressure, thou hast enlarged me." He made a discovery. Brothers and sisters, David made a discovery that many Christians never quite get. They do not understand that the Lord engineers our circumstances. I'll do a little bit of sidetrack here, Eddie. I remember the impression as a young Christian when I used to read Oswald Chambers, "My Utmost for His Highest." Many of you, it may still be your devotional. And I remember reading a phrase that he would often use, that God engineers your circumstances. And David discovered that absolute secret. Pressure's absolute secret. What a discovery it was. God was in the pressure. God allowed the pressure. He understood. God was using the pressure to make David the man and the king that he was to be. These are powerful discoveries, and how we need to make these same discoveries. Think of David. He went through unparalleled pressure. Think of it. You remember when David, let me put it one way. I'd like to put it. David was forgotten by his family. There may be some of you that disagree with me. They may have thought that was a wonderful thing, David being sent out to the sheepfold in the wilderness. And he learned great things that we benefit from as believers in the church. But when you think about it, when Saul was to be displaced, this king, this man of the flesh, and Jesse was called upon by Samuel to bring all of David's sons to him so that he could see who God had called king, David was left in the field. He was forgotten. Even so, when Samuel said, "Is there anybody else?" And he said, "Oh yeah, there's this ruddy little fella out with this smelly sheep. You don't mean David, do you?" And sure enough, the pressures, this one experience, made him king. Think of it, unparalleled pressure. forgotten by his family. I believe that psalm, that verse, I've shared it before, when father and mother forget you, God will take you up. That was not a trite saying he read in some sage's book. That was true experience. There was some of the pressure, enormous pressure. Not only that, he was pursued like an animal by Saul, like an animal, the demon possessed Saul. Forgive me, Paul, I didn't mean that. Pursued like an animal. You remember going to the cave of Adullam, and there he was hidden away with those that came out to that cave, and they were the cast-offs. Yet in that great pressure, God transformed those cast-offs into the mighty men of David. And the whole aim and purpose for Israel was fulfilled between this king in a cave and 300 mighty men who were used greatly because of what they experienced. Remember, two of his sons abandoned him. Can you imagine? Those of you who are parents, I guarantee you, the most horrible thing you could think about is if your child wrote you off. What a pain. What a pain it would produce. But you remember Absalom, you remember Adonijah turned against him. I think you will have to agree with me, he experienced increasing and exponential pressure. You understand the difference. Increasing may be a linear straight line graph. You understand exponential is like this in a graph. You know, it goes up like that. He didn't experience increasing difficulty. He experienced exponential difficulty. And because of that difficulty, he was transformed. I remember sharing 35 years ago, I don't even know if you ladies still use these, about a pressure cooker. I don't know. You're laughing. Are they still available? Instapot. They've renamed them. Those marketing people are so good. But you know, the whole point of a pressure cooker is pressure. That's a profound saying. I know you agree. Something of the power of steam pressure that can get inside under enormous pressure in this locked vessel. And it can make things be cooked better, believe it or not. More thoroughly, believe it or not. And even faster, believe it or not. And every pressure cooker, at least the old-fashioned, I don't know what your Instapot is, but the old-fashioned one had a steam valve on them. And if the pressure got too great, the steam pressure valve would release so that the meal, I guess, wasn't destroyed. Or you either, if you were standing nearby the pressure cooker. I believe God is the pressure valve. He uses the pressure cooker. But He knows exactly how much pressure to put into your life. He knows exactly what to allow in your life. He knows what work He will do. And through this pressure, He is transforming you. And He's making you like He made David. And He's perfecting you. And in the end, you will be thankful for the pressure. I imagine when you say David, as I'm looking forward to seeing David on the other side, I love to just have a conversation and say, David, that enormous pressure, how did you survive? How did you get through? And I believe David would say, it was momentary and light
affliction. And the work that was being done was so tremendous. God was in it all.
I believe that's what we're to understand about these days. There's another thing I want us to consider this morning. Is I believe there's a universal message in the Bible. Let's put it this way. There's pressure's universal message. Don't think for a moment that pressure was just a secret that David discovered. It's to be your secret. And if you read the Bible carefully, you begin to see people groups and people, individuals, men and women who were had incredible pressure imposed upon them. And I believe that is a universal message that God in His mercy will use this to accomplish His purpose. To me, it's a clear conviction that this is a principle, a spiritual principle in the Bible that does not deviate. This is to be our secret, and not just David's. Think of Israel. It was the message to Israel. You remember Israel was in the, before they really were formed to this nation, they were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. You remember that? Incredible bondage. And the bondage got worse. You know, the labor got harder. And they even took away, you remember the story of the straw and the brick? Well, you need the straw. It's sort of like reinforcing steel is to concrete today. It keeps the thing together. But they made it harder, and the pressure was increased. And God allowed this pressure for His purpose. And even though he prophesied, and in fact he prophesied, to Abraham, he said, my people will be in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. Do you think that was accidental? Do you think that was unplanned? Do you think maybe there wasn't a great purpose beyond that? Brothers and sisters, I believe there was the greatest purpose behind that pressure. He was producing in his own people a longing for their own land. He was producing in the pressure a longing to worship and serve God. He was producing in them a longing for a deliverer, a Messiah. And you remember the story of Moses. I believe this is a clear universal message about Israel. Everything he was doing was with a purpose in view. I think of when Jeremiah was called. You remember when Jeremiah was told, go down to the potter's house in Jeremiah 18, the story of the potter. And it says he was doing a work on the wheel, the potter. I believe that is the clearest message. One of the clearest messages in the Bible is that God was in the pressure. His divine hand was on the outside making the vessel, Israel, into what He wanted it to be. His divine hand was on the inside. And as it was being turned to work on the wheel, it was being formed, being made, being pressurized to be a vessel that He could fill and be a testimony to the entire known world. That is, to me, the undeviating message to Israel. When you think of the church, you come to the New Testament. You remember Peter's amazing revelation that God gave him in Matthew 16, verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember the Lord's subsequent revelation that He gave, thou art Peter, in verse 18, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, it would make sense to me, in my limited understanding, to stop right there. But He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
And then he went on further to say, and Peter, I give you the keys. And these keys will be used. And if you understand the context, it's all about corporate prayer. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. It's all about pressure. The building of the church cannot happen unless there's pressure. And believe it or not, when the Lord talked about His great promise, I will build my church, He brought in even the enemy. How extraordinary. Did you know the Lord can even use the enemy to accomplish His work? What a message of hope that is. Do you think the enemy won when He was on the cross? Not in a moment. Brothers and sisters, I believe that's the clearest message about the church. In pressure and through pressure and in circumstances, when the enemy is attacking, I will yet build my church. What a word of encouragement that ought to be to you and me in this day. It's the message to Christians. It is the universal message to Christians. You remember what Paul said? I don't have time to read it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, you all know, he said, we were exceedingly pressed. Do you know what that means? He said, we were under exceeding pressure. Not just some light pressure. Not just some difficult circumstances, but he said we were under exceeding pressure. And the sentence of death was upon us, that we should not trust in ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, who has delivered us, who will deliver us. And yes, in the end, He will yet deliver us. This was the hope in the pressure. You remember what his point was. This pressure shall produce life out of death. Something so great will be done through this exceeding pressure he spoke about that there will be a transforming life that comes out of those circumstances. And the end is life out of death. I think when he said in 2 Corinthians 4, I think most of us just went through this, 7 to 12, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassingness may be of God and not of us, not from us. And then what did he talk about? He talked about, right after that verse, of our great secret, that Christ is in this human vessel. He began to talk about horrific and terrific circumstances. Look at what he said. Every way afflicted, but not straitened. Every way afflicted. Seeing no apparent issue, but our way not entirely shut up. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are two words in there that are so powerful, brothers and sisters. In the midst of the pressure with God, is always the but not. That's the secret. He is the fourth man in the fire with us. It doesn't matter that the flame is increased sevenfold. If you know what I'm referring to, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before they cast them bound into the fiery furnace, they said, raise the temperature sevenfold. So hot was it, the executioners were consumed, tossing them into the fire. Yet in the middle of that great pressure, enormous pressure, unparalleled pressure, exponential pressure, Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and he said, didn't we throw three men into the fire? Wasn't there just three? And he said, I see a fourth man. In his own words, King Nebuchadnezzar said, one like the sun. Son of God. Think of it. How powerful that is in the midst of our pressure. I think of what Peter said. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which comes upon you as though something strange happened to you." The message is undeviating through the Scripture. Whether it applies to Israel, whether it applies to the church, or whether it applies to individual believers, it's the same universal message. I will do something through this pressure. And in James, John read these verses in James. "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into temptation." Listen, this is a beautiful phrase. "Knowing the proving of your faith." That's what the pressure is doing. It's proving your faith. "Works endurance." And then he says, "But let endurance do its perfect work." That is what I mean by pressure's perfect work. Now, there's one last thing I want to share with you. I believe this is equally important, maybe more important. The Lord wants us to know that the work that He begins, He will complete. That's the most important thing we can know. I call this precious promise work. It is the vital message of the Bible. And in particular, the vital message of the New Testament. You remember Philippians 1 verse 6. Having confidence of this very thing, Paul said, "He who has begun in us a good work will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ." What hope that is. This is the promise. This is precious promise. The work that I have started, I will complete it. I think you probably know many verses. I'm thinking that Philippians 1:6 is one that's always been on my heart. But when the Lord walked upon the earth, He always made it a point that He would say He was going to complete the Father's work. Have you noticed that? Remember at the story of the woman at the well in John 4? And in verse 34, when the apostles came back with the food they got, and they thought the Lord was starving and ravished, and He said, "I have meat that you don't know of." It's to complete the Father's work. You remember when that one at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years with an infirmity, was healed. He could never get to the pool when it was stirred. But the Lord healed him instantly. You remember. And those Jews sought to kill him for the miracle done on the Sabbath. And He went on to say to them that it was always the Father's work when you look at that. Let me read John 5:36 and take a little bit more of your time. This is what He said. John 5, verse 36. "But I have the witness that is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me, I should complete them." He always did this. And you remember when He hung on the cross, also in John chapter 19, verse 30, and He made that declaration so powerful, "It is finished." He always completes what He starts. This is the word that I think is so encouraging. And then when you look, and this is what I want to close with, in Revelation, there are three passages. Just three passages. And these passages, I think, show us that this one is determined. And this one will, in every circumstance, complete the work that He begins. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. And I'll just read these.
Chapter 1, verse 8. You all know the verse. I am the Alpha and the Omega, saith the Lord. He who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What encouraging words. I am the Alpha, the beginning of the Greek alphabet. I am the Omega. Not only that, I am present. I am the one who is. I am the past. I am the one who was. And not only that, I am the future. I am the one who is coming. And not only that, the encouragement was, I am the Almighty. How good those words are. Now, this same type verse is repeated two more times in the book of Revelation. And every time he repeats it, he emphasizes what he said, and then he adds more to it. It's an increasing word of assurance. It's triple assurance, but it is assurance that is added to every time the writer John in Revelation. Look at 21 verse 6. He said this. 21 verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. Isn't that a good word? Think of that. That's just the same word that was on the cross. When he came to the end of the age, he didn't despair and say, I can't do it. It's too impossible. When he comes to the end of the age, he says, it is done. Again, he repeats the assurance, I am the Alpha and the Omega. But then he adds to the assurance, the beginning and the end. I will give him the thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And then when you look in 22 verse 13, he again gives the same assurance. And he adds even more to the assurance. 22 verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And then he adds the words, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Brothers and sisters, I think this is a great word of encouragement. Not only is there a secret you need to know, an absolute secret, he's in the pressure. He can't do his work without the pressure. Not only does he want you to know this is the universal message to the church, this was the universal message to Israel, this is the universal message to Christians, but he wants that last assurance to seize upon your heart and encourage you in the Lord. He who started this work is determined to complete this work. And he continues to add to it and add to it and added assurance on added assurance that he will do just what he says. You know, it reminds me of that hymn, He Giveth More Grace. I'll just read the verse, the first verse, and close. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. Listen to this. This is a phrase that has been embedded in my heart for years. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. In pressure, Thou hast enlarged me. Do you know the secret? Do you know the one that began the work will complete the work?
Will you believe it? It is the Bible's universal message for us.
Lord, we thank You for Your words. We believe we could not live without Your word. And in Your word is great encouragement. And we ask You in these days of testing beyond what many of us have known in our lifetimes, that we would discover this great secret. We ask that You would use this to make us into the men and women and the assembly that You want us to be. And we ask through every dealing and every trial that we would see, our eyes would look away to the author and the finisher of our faith, and that we would know that the one who has begun in us this good work will certainly complete it. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen.